Chia's hot toddies tonight. We figured, why not make it a little bit different for sure?
Yeah.
Since we are sitting in a different position. I know. I'm trying to adjust my mic where it's like nice for me because, and I keep moving the table.
All right. It's a makeshift idea. We're working on it.
Can you come a little bit closer?
I'm here now.
Come a little bit closer, baby.
Yeah, we're good. Okay. It's makeshift. We're working through this.
I know. So.
Why is it makeshift, Krista?
I decided to sell the podcast desk and the chair that Josh sat in.
It's all right.
Nothing
that I have is of value, apparently. And well, why did we set? Oh, I'm sorry. You'll hear a lot of shifting around right now.
Why did I sell that stuff?
Yeah. Why did you sell? What are we doing?
Well, we decided to move back to Arizona.
Back to the desert.
Desert rat for life, bro.
Bro. Like, Swampy South is hard to take.
It really, even sitting here right now, I'm sweating.
Yeah, me too.
Are you sweating?
Is this air going to kick on?
Oh my gosh.
Is there like an echo?
There is.
Okay.
There is an echo.
Just deal with it, people.
I know. Freaking deal with it. But
coming to you live from the Kona.
The cozy corner.
The cozy corner.
Seriously, it's our bourbon and wine corner that we kind of created in our house currently. And in our new house in Arizona, we'll actually have a whole room again for the podcast. So we're really excited about that.
Really excited. Because we both have this like idea of it being like a... Okay, I'm probably going to get... Like a masculine study type.
Like a man cave?
Right. With like some bookshelves filled with books, but like it's going to be dark tones, leather.
I'm thinking like a cigar room
right.
with bourbons.
Think like 1800s where the guy would wear like a smoking jacket.
Absolutely not, because it does. It's not going to look, it's going to be like a modern
twist.
Twist to that.
Yeah.
Like if you go into like any fancy cigar rooms, mm-hmm. They have like smoking corners or places, and it just has a different like
vibe
to it. Yeah.
So like dark leathers, dark, you know, we're gonna do this what is this called, caviar?
Yeah, so I found a paint that I'm really obsessed with, and we're leaving it for the home buyer of this house, but I secretly want to take it so that way I know what the color is and I can color match it.
Or at least we'll take a picture of the barcode. That's all you got to do, and they'll match it from that.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep.
Maybe I'll do the ceiling, too. Make it all one color.
With white crown molding?
Bro.
Yes.
All right, sold. So, cats out of the bag.
This is how we work, by the way.
Yeah.
We just, like, bounce ideas and feed off of one another, and then our ideas become epic.
Yeah. And
at least we think they're cool.
I think it's cool, too. But cats out of the bag with everything, and we cannot be more excited about going back to what we want out of our life.
Yes.
Out of our lives. Yes.
We moved here. And life was taking us one direction. And as we were here for a year,
mm-hmm.
that direction shifted once again. And we are very big people on what is our fate and what is God trying to tell us? And like, where is he trying to pull us towards? And this move here was more of a worldly want. And it was like something that we forced because we were really thinking that it would please others.
Well, instead and also, too, we saw the price that we were going to be making off of our Arizona house.
We got greedy.
And we saw the money and we were like, okay, we can buy like a bigger house somewhere else and living for the worldly and not living for God. And I don't know. I feel like we moved here with one intention and that is fine. But kind of what my therapist said, like you didn't have all the facts and the information that you do now to make a sound judgment, because I was making decisions off of grief instead of what I truly wanted to live my life for.
Mm-hmm.
And that is for myself. And it's not selfish whatsoever. Like when I say that, like to live your life for you, it's not selfish at all, because it aligns with your God-given purpose. And then also too, like, it aligns with your family needs, like your immediate family, and truly what feeds your soul.
And we're huge on talking about life lessons and mistakes on this podcast.
Yeah.
And you learn from them. And mm-hmm. we can honestly look back, and we try to live with no regrets. But
no regrets.
It's one of those things where I can honestly sit here and say, yes, we made a mistake and we learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
And now all the pathways are opening up once again for us to go back. And, you know, we had such a higher calling being out there, and like, mm-hmm. we just saw a lot more growth within us.
Peak Driven was built out in Arizona, y'all.
Hence the mountain logo, right? I mean, that was a shift in a mindset, a shift in a lifestyle, a shift in a new beginning.
Yeah.
That sparked Peak Driven.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't realize things that you miss until they're gone out of your life.
Yeah.
Or you, maybe it was, like in our case, we made that decision to remove them.
Yeah.
And then you look back and go, ooh, I didn't realize how important that was to me.
But we didn't have all of the facts and information to make a soundly decision.
That's true.
Like, if we... And this is with anything in life. Like, you have to go, like, the whole, like, whatever, quote unquote, like, you have to go through it to grow through it. Yes, that's true. But also, too, like, you literally didn't know what you were deciding on. And it comes full circle into your life after you gather all of that information.
Yep.
Like, moving here, I don't look at it as a mistake. I think of it as just, we had one intention. I cannot provide children to you, and that's okay. But now that we're living here and going around, like, can we make it work? Why would you want to make it work when you can fit in where you were before?
Right. And let's be honest. I mean, we started making a list, and we started having a lot of conversations, a lot of dialogue about
whiteboard conversations.
And
I'm telling you,
it ended up just coming down to the basic of, why are we here, or what makes us stay here?
Yeah.
And it came down to one thing,
and
it was my career, my job.
Yep.
There was nothing else that was really locked us here. Or, you know, that we looked forward to or to do anything. And, you know, we always kept comparing to what made us happy, to where we were called, we felt to be.
Yeah.
And it just came down to that decision of, okay, well, let's do it. Let's go back to where we were. We miss it so much.
Mm-hmm.
We tried this. Now it's a life. And that's also a side note. Is lessons, trying new things,
yes.
doing things, experimenting. Now, not everyone is in the capacity to do a trial run like this for a year, right?
Yeah.
But I love the fact that our life involves wild, crazy ideas and things and trials like this.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting. Mm-hmm. We do not have a boring life. We do not have the mundane hamster wheel, you know, type day-to-day operation.
No, we don't.
And if we find ourselves getting into that, we mix things up, shake it up very quickly, because we don't want to live like that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we found ourselves getting into here.
Yeah.
And that was one of the big red flags of just like, wow, this reminds us too much of why we left Pennsylvania. And do you remember all the things that we were involved with? Do you remember all the busy nights during the week? Do you remember all the things that we left a life back in Phoenix that we're just going to pick up right where we left off, hopefully.
Yeah, hands right. down. So you brought up a couple things that I kind of want to touch on.
I'm going to turn the air on.
Okay.
Are you sweaty?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am.
Okay, keep talking.
So you brought up a couple things. Make it quick, homie. Take off your headset so it doesn't take mine. Thanks. A couple things that Josh touched on of like creating happiness. And being happy where you are. So happiness isn't, I want people to know this. Happiness isn't a place, it's internal. And we had to come to that conclusion ourselves as to like, okay, are we moving back to Phoenix to like escape something here? Or is the air directly on you? You freaking jerk.
I feel great.
But are we moving back to somewhere just to have a little micro dose of happiness compared to the grand scheme of happiness that's within? And we looked at each other and we're like, no, like it's not that it's a place of happiness, but everything that was consumed in our life in Phoenix was complete happiness. And we're going to miss, you know, a couple people that are not there anymore, Rye Dog. But we also,
he'll be back.
We also know that, like, people are a phone call away and all that kind of stuff. So that was the first point. And then the second point of everything was we took a leap of faith.
Yes, we did.
To just put money down on a house and...
Wait, which time? We've done that twice.
Did we?
Yeah, here and there.
Oh.
Specify, girl.
Well, okay, so we took a leap of faith here. Let's start with here. We took a leap of faith here in South Carolina to put money down on a house and sight unseen, all that kind of stuff. That's one thing, okay? Genuinely believe that if you're going to, this is just wisdom and experience, if you're going to move somewhere, please visit before you go. Okay, that's first off. But putting money down on a house in Phoenix, we were out there and we went to Sonoran Desert where we went mountain biking and hiking, and like I would go there and like just sit and think and see hummingbirds and like just
this whole
be in my thoughts at this place.
It even goes back further than that.
Oh, very true.
When we first moved out there, Krista found this esthetician or anyway, hairdresser, something. She yes, had
my esthetician who has the same birthday as me.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
But she got detoured and she found this road and she's like, this road is absolutely gorgeous, Josh. So one Sunday, I think after church or whatever, she's like, I'm going to go show you this road.
Yeah. It's a simple road, but it brought so much happiness internally.
Right. And it's just this open, windy road that's through the desert mountains. And it's through this preserve that there's no homes or anything built on it. And we pull into this parking lot. And this is before I really got into mountain biking. And I'm like, oh, honey, look at all the mountain bike. Like, this is like a place to come ride.
Yeah.
Well, psh, that opened up Pandora's box. But, you know, it was one of those things where I still remember going and turning around in that parking lot and getting out for a second. And we kind of walked up to the pavilion and then walked a little bit through the trails.
Yeah.
And we were just taking it in and just like, I think I even got, I get emotional over everything, but like, it was one of those things seeing God's amazing creation.
Yes.
But then also just, you get this sense that falls over you of like certainty. And you're just like, wow, this is it. Like calm, peace, all those awesome things. And so fast forward 4 years.
Yeah. And we went to this development and I was like, let's just look, see if we get like funny feelings, whatever. And I look at the gate. And if y'all don't know, I have a hummingbird tattoo on my forearm. And now a butterfly and now a cactus theme on the back of my arm. But my dad used, like, after he passed, would always show up as hummingbirds. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna get really emotional, but
let it out, girl.
We pull up to this development and I look on the gate and I'm like, is that a freaking hummingbird?
Two hummingbirds in,
please, like, I was like, what is this? And we walk through the model and I'm like, what's gonna be behind this? They're like, nothing, it's just gonna be like Sonoran Desert Mountain Preserve. And I'm like, what? Like, I could not, like, believe myself. And then, like, a butterfly. We were talking. Talk about, like, crazy things, too.
Serendipity.
Like, we. You love that word today.
Synergy is the other word. All S's today. Go ahead.
So, we were at like the hotel, just like talking of like, should we do this or should we not? And like, I prayed to God that like, he would give me a sign of like something. And like, butterflies started coming to me like after I lost baby JJ. And then all of a sudden, this like butterfly like comes out of nowhere. And then Josh turns around and he sees a freaking hummingbird. And I'm like, okay, yep. If that is not God talking to us, I don't know what the heck is.
Right. And do you also, to like, I don't know if the listeners can relate to this, but I'm getting emotional too, but
I know I'm crying, y'all.
You know,
I do not cry. Josh says I have a black heart. I'm crying. Okay. It's true.
But if you feel like you're emotionally tied to a place, and it can be your home, or it can be like a childhood memory, or it can be a place that you've always visited with family growing, whatever it may be, think of like somewhere that you just get this overwhelming sense of calm and peace when you go there. That was that moment for us.
Yeah.
Like as soon as we stepped off the plane, and as soon as we, you know, picked up the rental car, and
it's like we're home.
Yeah. It felt like we didn't skip a beat.
No.
You know, we went up and saw these model homes. Everything just fell into place. And they're like, timeline, what are you thinking of? And we were like, well, if we were to do this, it wouldn't be till like next summer, you know, springtime. And they're like, well, we have this lot, and this lot. And, you know, it just all fell into place. And then,
yeah,
like Krista said, all the little signs and things that went along with it. It's just remarkable of when you have something in your mind and you leave most of it up to fate, you know, the power that it can take on you're distracting the hell out of me, honey.
I'm sorry. I just got a big, shot. Big hit of Jameson.
I warned you about that.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, when you have that faith.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, God, if this is meant to be, let everything happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sell this home with one only offer. The timeline works out perfectly.
13 days.
It's over asking price, you know.
Yeah. And
or all cash, I should say, like, you know.
Yeah.
So that's working out amazing for us. The home's going to be on time. Like, we find this awesome rental. We're going to be balling out in Scottsdale for like a month. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. And honestly, there may be bumps along the road.
Oh, I'm sure there will be.
But even if it's not like a place like to uproot yourself and stuff like that, maybe it's just like going and visiting there. Because in all honesty too, like we thought, you know, if God forbid it doesn't work out, that can just be our like second that sounds really bougie, but like our second home.
Yeah.
And we can Airbnb it. And then when we want to go back and vacation in Arizona, then we can go out there type of thing. That was our like first intent of it. And then always having like a backup plan just in case, but like knowing in the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm gonna be out there. Like I work at home, so like
later, Josh.
I'm gonna be out there. So what's the point in having two mortgages at this point?
Right.
So
I guess what we don't want to make this podcast about us and like gloat about us, but like,
no,
what we wanted to talk about was if you're lost in the world and you're trying to figure out where you're meant to be, what you're meant to do,
mm-hmm.
You know, there are signs out there that sometimes if you open up your eyes, open up your heart,
mm-hmm.
Maybe even sometimes close your eyes and listen to the voice inside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for us, that's, you know, God and Holy Spirit or whatever.
Yep.
And not whatever, I shouldn't say whatever, but that's God and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And prayer.
Prayer. You know, we sit in calm. And I've been struggling with this and I've been trying to get better at it. But I listen to those voices, mm-hmm. And I listen to those thoughts. I don't dismiss them because they're scary.
Mm-hmm.
Because they make me feel uneasy, because it's a challenge.
Yep.
You know, I kind of entertain them and I'm like, okay, so what happens if I go down this path? What happens if I start, you know, listening to my gut and going with those feelings?
Yeah.
How am I feeling? Oh, I'm starting to feel like I can conquer the world. I'm starting to feel like I'm being fulfilled in a way.
Yeah.
Scary as hell.
Hands down. But I mean, one of our logos is literally Do It Afraid.
Right.
Like, everything is going to scare you, but I love the fact that you bring up, like, sitting with yourself, because a lot of people don't want to because of those feelings that come up that are uneasy, for sure. But the only way you're going to know what you truly, genuinely want out of your life is if you sit with yourself and ask those hard questions.
Yep.
And it may be a big leap of faith. It may be. It probably will be. And that's your subconscious pushing you outside of your comfort zone.
Right.
And, something that you'll 100% need in order to grow into who you are truly meant to be.
And like our example is, you know, where we live. But like for somebody else, it could be a relationship. It could be a career change.
Yeah.
It could be a hobby or an interest.
Yep.
You know, it could be, I'm afraid to get it, a business idea, starting it for yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And it can be a number of things, but I think we hold ourselves back, A, because of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then also too, like judgment. Like that definitely in our case was like, people are going to think we're nuts. You know, we just moved here. And, you know, everyone's going to
look at our house and go, wow, shouldn't you be grateful?
And I am.
I'm just.
No, I know.
What I think in my head of like what people will say.
I'm sure they have those thoughts too, right?
And it's okay because it's not their life, it's my life. Right. So I'm super content with myself. And I haven't really like made it super public until this podcast.
Yeah. No, me too. Well, I don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like I'm not afraid of what other people will think or say, because I've learned before I'd be super reactive as to like, well, it doesn't matter what you think. Like I would be like super reactive to like what other people say about me. But now it's kind of like, well, it truly is my life and thank you for your feedback.
And like, in my case,
bless and release type of thing.
Yeah.
So
I keep my friend circle very small.
Yeah.
I keep the people who I surround myself with.
Well, you don't do social media, so.
For multiple of reasons, but.
Well, I kind of have to let my students know.
Yeah.
You know?
But it doesn't affect them in any way.
No, just time off when moving, which right. They know.
Yeah. And they're going to be happy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, great. But I guess what I'm trying to get at with what I was saying was all my friends. Mm-hmm. That I actually value, like, you know, the friends that you have that you actually value their opinion, like you'll have certain friends that you're just like, whatever you say, you know, other friends, my close circle friends, my best friends, I've narrowed that down very much so to where,
yeah, same.
They're very successful. We help lift each other up. And, you know, when I broke the news to them and we told them our plans and everything like that, there was no worry of judgment because they were like, totally get it. Absolutely. Got to do your, you know, what's right for you.
Yep.
You know, it's a learning lesson. You guys can now say you lived in South Carolina, like go back to what makes you happy.
Yep.
There was none of this. Like, are you kidding me? Like, are you nuts? Like we did get that from some people, especially family.
Yeah.
But you know,
that's okay. There, in everything that you do in life lesson, everything you do in life, there's always going to be the crickets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Think of them as crickets because that's all they are.
They're crabs in a bucket.
Okay. They're not willing to take the leap of faith and they see you taking a leap of faith. They genuinely want to be in your shoes, but don't know how to get out of that quicksand.
Well, that's good.
Unfortunately. Yeah. But maybe you doing it, instead of being reactive to like what they say, maybe you can inspire them a little bit. Inspire them to take even the slightest leap of faith.
Right.
Because sometimes people don't even want to, like, they can't even decide on a couch. because they're afraid they're going to make the wrong decision.
Yeah.
Compared to like, oh, you're going to start your own business? Great. I think that's wonderful. You quit your job and all you're going to do is XYZ. How are you going to, like, man, must be nice. Oh, I hate that word or that saying.
But I think what it comes down to is once you work on yourself and you start to build this like inner confidence in yourself that no matter what somebody says or the judgment, you start to make decisions that best benefit you. And you disregard all that. And you're so confident in yourself that like, yes, this is scary. Yes, you know, this could, like starting a business, this could fail, you know. But guess what? I'll keep trying. I'll keep getting up. I'll keep doing it, right? And you start to work, once you've worked on yourself and you continually work on yourself, you start to realize that like, those opinions don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this is my life. I have to go to bed with myself and close my eyes and be content with my decisions and how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm not living it for Sally Sue. I'm not living it for Billy Bob.
No.
I don't care what they have to say.
You're living it for you.
Right.
And that's honestly like you, like you said, you have to go to sleep at night with yourself. What decisions you make. And that's it. But also too, like, the only person that's going to change your life is you as well. No one else can kind of push you along the way.
No.
Like, well, if you want something, it's all up to you.
Yep. And what me and you like to do is we like to plant the seed, put it out there, manifest, see if that seed grows.
Yeah.
See if for some reason by faith things are being pulled, you know, pulling us towards that idea,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, look for those signs, look for those things in life, the universe, that there might be opportunities that come in to your life that help you progress towards that seed that you've once planted. But if you're complacent and content and you just, you know, maybe never open your eyes to those types of things, you can have opportunities that pass you by left and right.
Oh yeah.
And you're not realizing that. Remember that dream that I had when I was in my 20s or whatever? Well, it's never too late to revisit it.
No.
You know, there's no timestamp that expires.
No.
You know, yeah, you might have other responsibilities now. You might have other challenges now. But why not? We only have one life.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow's not promised.
Nope.
So why would you not want to take a risk? You know, life is too precious to... And I think it's fear that holds us all back, but...
Oh, hands down.
You know, life is just way too meaningful, and we're put on this earth for a purpose, and mm-hmm. we are meant to do something great with our life. We're not meant to just do the daily grind, go through the operations that we all have created for our life,
mm-hmm.
clock in, clock out, do this, do that, repeat, and next thing you know, 15, 20 years of your life have gone by. For what? A 401k when you're 65?
That's not going to be there, by the way.
You might not even make it to 65. So you just worked your whole life, missed out on certain events, kids' practices or whatever. You know, quick story. At work, I was one of the reps came around and he had a son with him because he's on spring break from college.
Yeah.
Kid's 19 years old. He said, hey, Dad, coming home for spring break, can I follow you around to a couple of your appointments? And... Dad was like, yeah, come on. So he's at the hotel with his son hanging out, and the guy's doing his rounds to different dealerships and stuff like that. But he said, you know, I took my kid to lunch the other day, and there's this young man sitting across from me, and I was so busy with this job for the past 20 years or whatever. He's like, I didn't even recognize the kid in front of me. He's like, it's my son.
Mm.
But we're having like different conversations. He's talking about like adult things now. And he's like, I just feel like I've missed out with so much of his life because of my job. And that's all I was focused on.
Yeah.
And he's like, so when he said, hey, Dad, can I follow you around for the week? Because I'm off. So instead of him going to Cancun or something in Mexico with his friends, he's like, I want to go hang out with my dad. And I was like, dang, that's pretty cool, but also pretty sad.
Yeah.
That it took you 19 years to realize your kid's grown up without you.
Yeah.
And you know, just wild.
I mean, I think it's a pretty simple concept for at least me, because I've said this before, like my dad worked and retired in January and died in April. Is that any way to live a life, or is it echo from us?
I think so.
Interesting.
We'll work on this.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Okay. No, but that's the whole concept. Like, you don't want to work and not be on your deathbed. And this is so morbid, but like, it's reality. You don't want to be on your deathbed regretting everything you coulda, shoulda, woulda done.
Right.
Like, why not take the leap of faith and live your life for you and do something out of the ordinary that most people wouldn't? Because this is literally it. So I live my life based on my dad, hands down. I'm moving back to Arizona because that's where I was happy. Okay. Numero uno. We're going to take trips and travel more, mm-hmm. because I don't want to be like, oh, we never got around to doing that.
Right.
I don't really have time for that language in my vocabulary anymore, because there's so many different factors. But overall, like, I just really want to live for me and what is my God-given purpose on this earth.
Yep. I just think, you know, with all the...
There's a spider back there. Ew. I know.
Like, with all the... Okay, so Krista lost her father. She also lost her uncle. I just lost my uncle yesterday. Like I said earlier, tomorrow's not promised.
Yeah.
And Chris and I are just having this new outlook on life where we just want to do what's being called to us to do, and, you know, what brings us joy and happiness. And if you think it's crazy, or if you don't agree with it, then you can suck it. Like, at the end of the day, you know, Chris and I have made a pact that will also vows.
Sorry, cackled in the listener's ears.
You know, we've made a vow and a promise to one another, and we are not going to let this life slip by.
Absolutely not.
And not live it to its fullest, whether that's mistakes, whether that's progress, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to live a blissful life with my wife. And, you know, we've been dirt poor. We've also done very well for ourselves. But we've been happy either way.
Yeah.
Now, it's easier to be happier with money.
Yeah. Don't let anyone say that money doesn't bring any happiness. It definitely alleviates some problems.
For sure.
So.
But
it doesn't
define who you are.
It define who you are and, like, bring pure happiness. I think there's a difference.
Money brings you temporary happiness.
Yeah.
And then, so say you buy yourself something new and shiny.
Yeah.
It's fun for like a day or two, right?
It's that micro dosing of happiness.
Right. And then those feelings start to slowly creep back in. You have to try to get that high again by buying something again.
Yeah.
Right? Because you keep numbing that pain or whatever. Instead of just dealing with it, working on it, trying mm-hmm. to become a better person or better yourself.
Yeah.
And it's funny because once you work on personal growth and being, you know, personal excellence and high achiever, those types of things, it's funny how the universe and God provides for you in other ways that you never thought were possible. Yeah. And the things that you once were so focused on, and like, this is going to show that I'm successful. This is going to show that I'm wealthy. This is going to show, right? All the worldly things.
Yeah.
You start to then realize none of that stuff matters.
But what's good in your soul?
What's good in my soul?
Like, people chase all this like materialistic worldly things, but like, what's actually good in your soul? I don't care how much money you have or how you dress or how big your house is or what car you drive. Well, car you drive, maybe. No, I'm kidding. But like those little things don't really make up the holistic picture of who you are as a human.
No, because you could be a terrible soul inside.
Yeah.
You know.
And I don't want to be friends with you.
No.
If you don't add value to my life.
No.
In any circumstance, I'm good.
Yep.
I'll have conversation with you.
I won't even waste my time with you. I can gauge somebody.
I am polite.
Please. Walk away from bullshit.
Oh.
I can. My radar is pretty damn strong after meeting certain people.
Yes. I can sense. I'm very empathetic and I can sense like someone's true motive with me and like intentions right off the bat.
Listen, I love this phrase and I've been using it a lot.
Synergy?
No. Serendipity. No. When someone has an ego, to me, an ego is edging God out.
Oh, yes. I love this.
So when somebody has this arrogance, this ego, they come this pompous a-hole. They just come with this huge chip on their shoulder and like they have to prove the world and all this kind of stuff. I'm sorry. I don't got time for that. And no. I've in my new position, you know, I've met a couple people that just, you know, hold themselves on this high chariot and it's just like, bruh, you don't need to be that way.
Mm-mm.
If you were more humble, down to earth, understanding, leveled yourself with your peers,
yeah,
you know, you'd probably get a lot further and a lot more people's respect than if you were to come in acting like, you know, Friar Tuck, just all.
And quicker too. Like, I feel like when you humble yourself and like in my position right now, I deal with a lot of higher ups, hands down. But I simply am being myself. Not like I crack dad jokes all the time. It's really bad, but that's me. I'm not going to change myself. The people that are doing some of the work with me, and like I have to be on top of them of certain things, they already respect me. Stop playing with the sound. You're distracting me. But they already respect me because they know, like, I've been in your shoes. I've been there. I've done that. Like, if you can bring yourself down and humble yourself to literally everyone, I feel like you're going to go a long way. And you're also going to be a little bit more relatable to get the job done.
I think the big word here is respected. And respect is such a huge thing in the world that I think is lost.
Yeah.
Because there's zero respect out there in today's culture for anything.
Even just other humans. That's true too. Meeting, like, just everyone has their own things they're dealing with. Just be respectful.
Right.
Learn how to drive in a roundabout. I don't know.
But.
So, I'm gravy good on this. Thanks for listening to our news and everything that we spouted out at you today, whatever hoopla this was. We appreciate you if you feel like this would help someone else take that leap of faith and live for themselves. Please share that. And we genuinely hope this resonated with you. If you want more, you can go over to www.peakdrivenllc.com. Join the email list, join some fitness classes. The 6-week challenge is still going on. May take a little break from those as we move and readjust my time spent in other areas.
Right.
Yeah. But that's all she wrote.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. Love y'all.
Later.